I want to thank you for getting out tonight. A rather cold night, but you have made the decision to gather to worship God and to be with His people, and it is a very, very encouraging sight to see you. And we're grateful for everybody who's here, grateful for all the visitors we have, very blessed to have you, and we hope that we have time with you after services. One of the things that the Apostle Paul had to deal with in being a man who was selected or appointed to the apostleship in an unfamiliar pattern, or at least apart from those who were selected by Christ from his ministry, was that his enemies would try to minimize Paul's credential as an apostle, as if his apostleship was not authentic and real because he didn't have the experiences that the others had during the earthly ministry of Christ. And to combat that, he had to often talk about his qualifications and how he was approved by God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. To compound that, you had people at that time who were trying to impress other people as if they were apostles, even though they were not appointed by Christ and not selected by him to do that work. So you had a lot of fake or false apostles at this time that he's even addressing in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that there were those who were false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 13, really. And so he had to offset that. He had to offset that threat along with this other accusation that he was not a real apostle. So he had false apostles to deal with, and then he had to establish himself as being genuine and authentic from the Lord. And so from time to time, he would give his credentials as being selected by Christ. And when you go through 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he goes to the unfortunate point of having to demonstrate evidence that here is a man who was literally chosen by Christ to be an apostle, and he was suffering for it. He had a list of experiences that none of the false apostles could possibly compare themselves to in boasting as if they were selected by Christ. And he goes through his list of experiences as an apostle in talking about his commitment to the Lord. And he says in verse 22 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." And so he goes through this, and he talks about all these horrible things he had to endure in service to the Lord. And we can look at this list and not only appreciate all that he went through as a servant of Christ, but then we can find encouragement ourselves as to what we are capable of enduring in service to the Lord. How much can you endure? We have a phrase in our language that this is the straw that broke the camel's back. And what it means is that you have a certain amount of straw carried by a camel, and you can keep adding so much to where one more is at the breaking point. One more straw is more than that animal can bear. Sometimes we think about the pressures of life and the burdens of life, and I love the way Don phrased the prayer, that we might dismiss the cares of this life and focus on the lesson at hand, because that is a very good thought to consider. But how much can you endure? What is that one last straw that's added to your pile of stuff and all the trials that you're up against, that you feel like that is the last one, that's the last struggle I can experience and still maintain my faith in God? That's just more than I'm capable of enduring. And I'm sure in our mind, we think that there is that last straw. But what I would encourage us to realize, when we go through what Paul is describing here, to compare it to what we go through, and I would venture to say none of us is ever going to experience what this man experienced as an apostle, let alone as a Christian. But I think his example can help us, to give us strength in remembering how much we can endure in service to the Lord. What's the worst thing that's going to happen to you as a child of God in this life? What's the worst thing? What could possibly happen to you that would compare to what this man went through, or what other Christians have gone through, especially in the New Testament times? And so I look at his list here, and I see that you and I are capable of enduring quite a bit. Here's a man who kept his faith, even though, as he talks about in verse 23, that he had to deal with stripes. He says that he was experiencing stripes in service to the Lord. In verse 24, he says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one, which we know is 39 stripes. Now, there's a reason he said that the way he did, because the law limited a whipping to 39 stripes. That's what the law said for the Jews to do in judging or punishing fellow Israelites, fellow Hebrews. They had to limit it to under 40. And so, you would have these stripes, and sometimes it would be counted as whips that would have 3 strands. And so you would have, 13 of these deliverings on your back that he had to go through. And it says that he did this how many times? He says, 4 times I received, or 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. One time would have shut down things for me. And yet this man said, I did it 5 times. One time would have all, it would have been, that's it. If I would have had 39 stripes on my back, just one experience of that, I would think twice about going through it again. He did it twice. He did it 3 times. He did it 4 times. He did it 5 times. He had his back beaten and whipped. I wonder, when you look at how this is depicted in movies, and you can see slaves in the past who would have been beaten, and you could see the scars on their back. Think about it. Do you think Paul had this smooth back? Do you think he had this back that was free from any flaws? Of course not. If you were to look at Paul's back in his day, he would have the marks. He would have the scars of a back that had been beaten many times over. Many times over in service to the Lord. One time would have been enough for me. One time, and you try to do it again to me, things would have been a little different. And yet he said he went through that multiple times, not only from the Jews, okay, because they had the law governing them, but then he says that he was suffering this even as a Christian from Jews. And the reason he was doing this was because of their rejection of his message. Now here's a man that the only reason he was experiencing this type of response from Jews was because they felt like he was violating God's will in preaching that a person was to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. And it says in Acts chapter 13 that he would address the Jews. He would go and talk to the Jews in verses 44 and 45. So the thing that got him in trouble with the Jews was not that he was breaking some law, but rather he was preaching a message that they felt justified in beating his back for. It says in Acts chapter 13, in verses 44 and 45, the next Sabbath almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming, and they opposed the things spoken by Paul. So again, it's not like he was just violating so many of the laws of the law of Moses that would have warranted this type of beating. He was preaching the gospel. And the Jews considered that blasphemy. And they were beating him for that. And so all of that came as a direct result of preaching the authority of Christ. You see in Acts chapter 8 and verse 12 that that's what gospel preaching is. That gospel preaching is preaching things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what Philip was doing. And that's what Paul was doing. Preaching that authority. Well, in Paul's case, it got him in trouble, especially with the Jews. But it wasn't just the Jews. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, notice that the list goes on where he talks about that he had perils of the Gentiles and where he was beaten by rods or with rods. He says, three times I was beaten with rods. Now the whipping, that's a whole category by itself. But now you got to throw in the rods. Three different occasions, he was beat up with sticks, or bats, we might even say, the equivalency would be. Now, there is an account given of when one of those beatings took place. In Acts chapter 16, you can read the details of where they pulled out these rods and they beat this guy. And again, his only crime was preaching the kingdom of Christ and his authority, his name, and salvation in his name. And that's what got him in trouble, even with the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 16, notice in verses 22 and 23, where it talks about, the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And he's talking about Paul and Silas here. And in verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them in the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And then it talks about later, in verse 24, that he had their feet in stocks. Okay, so here are, again, occasions where they were beaten by the Gentiles as well. So, could you handle that from your fellow citizens of this country or even this community, where they take you and they falsely accuse you and then they determine a verdict that would result in you being beaten like this? The humiliation and the pain associated with that. Well, if you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, again, that would be quite a pedigree right there just to have those experiences. To me, that would have set him apart from every other apostle, especially the false apostles at that time, if he was willing to experience these types of persecutions. But he's just getting started. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he was beaten three times with rods in verse 25. Once, I was stoned. Now, we talked about this a little bit this morning when Paul was at Lystra. And again, people stoned this guy. And the only reason they stopped throwing rocks at him is because they thought he was dead. And that's the only reason they let up. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having rocks thrown at you by a group of people where you're at the bottom of a pit or you're the center of their hatred? What would that be like? To have all these rocks coming and crushing in on your body? I couldn't imagine it. I couldn't imagine being hit by something like that. I couldn't imagine being hit by a baseball, let alone a rock. You know, some of these major league pitchers can throw up to 100 miles an hour. That would kill the average person to get hit like that, unprotected. Well, Paul had more than baseballs coming at him. He had rocks coming at him. He had stones coming at him. And again, the only reason these people stopped throwing is because they thought he was dead. And he says, once I was stoned. Well, we can read about that in Acts chapter 14, in verse 19. But then he goes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, And he says in verse 25, three times I was shipwrecked. Now what's interesting is he wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay, so all of his experiences up until then included three different shipwrecks. Well, what's remarkable is that doesn't even include the future shipwrecks he would have. Like at the end of Acts, the story of Acts that we read about in Acts 27. So that would be in addition to this list. That would be in addition to the shipwrecks he already experienced by the time he wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And you can go back through and you can see when he wrote this on his third missionary journey and where he was in Macedonia when he wrote this letter to the Corinthians. But he had another shipwreck in the future he didn't know about. Three times. Now that would be a terrifying experience to be lost at sea like that. You know, your only vessel is removed and you're just there exposed to all the elements. Three times he did this. Of course, you know the story of the USS Indianapolis. I know you've heard that many times over. Of where this vessel during World War II, this U.S. vessel, had over 1,100, I believe, on board. And this vessel sank in 12 minutes, and 900 made it into the water. But they were in the water for 5 days, and most of them did not have preservers, so they're having to tread water to survive. Even though 900 went in, a little over 300 survived. And so you had almost 600 people killed those 5 days in the water. And a lot of them were killed by shark attacks. And you've read the story, I'm sure you've seen some type of documentary on it. We worshipped with a person before in Kentucky whose father was on that ship. And he had a hard time talking about it. It was years and years later before he could even make reference to his experience in the water and being one of the 300 that survived that. But to have all those sharks around you, to hear men being killed from shark attacks, or to see men give up because they could not tread the water anymore. Well, Paul said, I did that on multiple occasions. Three times I was exposed to that. Three times I was shipwrecked. And of course, the Lord brought him through all of that. But then he says, a night and a day I have been in the deep. So he was exposed to the deep oceans, if you will, deep bodies of water. He goes on to say that he was in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers. He was threatened with water and he was threatened with robbers. You ever had somebody break in and steal from you? You ever had anybody try to rob you or actually rob you? Paul said that happened to him. Perils, his life was threatened by robbers. And again, all this happened as a result of him doing his service to the Lord as an apostle. He says, in perils of my own countrymen, so I had my own people turn against me, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. I mean, this man was exposed to danger all the time. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. And so he had betrayal all around him. But then notice in verse 27 again, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. How bad was it for Paul? You know, the last letter he wrote was 2 Timothy, and he was in the prison in Rome again. He had been released, but then he was recaptured and he was imprisoned again, and he was about to die at the end of this letter. He knew that. But here he is in prison, and the one thing he asked for people to bring him was more clothes. Bring the cloak. Bring the cloak, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. He wanted more covering for his body. He was cold. Well, by the time he wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 11, which was before 2 Timothy chapter 4, he had already been exposed to that, of being cold and naked and hungry and a loss of sleep and fasting and so on and so forth. Now, In a sense, he's describing what a lot of people experienced in this nation years ago growing up. Well, you didn't have much, and you were poor, and you were cold, and you were hungry often, and you were exposed to the elements like he was to some degree. But even though you experienced that, nobody would want to go back to that. Nobody would want to go back to having less clothes, less food, less heating and air, less protection from the elements. Nobody wants to go back to that. And yet Paul is experiencing this, and he's experiencing this as an old man. How do you want to face your Social Security years? How do you want to face your retirement years? This man was doing it in prison. This man was doing it as somebody who was suffering for the Lord. Again, I ask you, how much can you endure? How much can I endure in service to the Lord? And certainly that's the thought to consider from all of this. But then he says in verse 28, besides all this, again, that list is more than you and I will ever see. I don't think any of us will experience all of those things, especially the way he did in service to the Lord. But then he says, as if that's not bad enough, there's more. And he says in verse 28, besides all this, the spiritual burdens that I bear for people. He says, besides other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Now, Paul wasn't exposed to just one church. He was exposed to many churches. And because he was exposed to many churches in many different places, he had a lot of love for a lot of different people. And he would tell these people, I pray for you often. I remember you in prayer. Or as he told the Thessalonians, he was scared because of the persecution he experienced in that city, whether or not they could endure that persecution from those Jews. And so he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verses 1 and 2, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, when I could endure it no longer, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. So Paul wasn't just suffering physically. He always had this gnawing concern all the time about the people he helped convert or the people he helped grow in their faith, whether or not they would stay faithful. And that love was genuine and that love was real. It was not something that he just put in a letter. He actually cared for these people. It kept him up at night thinking about their spiritual welfare and their condition before the Lord, whether or not we had labored in vain. All that work we engaged in to bring them to the Lord, whether or not they would remain faithful to the Lord. And that is a real burden that he felt, that any servant of the church is going to feel that very same concern, whether or not people you care about remain faithful. And so he had all that upon him, along with all this other physical torture. And then he says in verse 29, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall, and escaped from his hands. Now he threw in one more thing here. He threw in this real threat he was experiencing in trying to escape a city. Now, you can read this sometime and you can see how this garrison was there at Damascus for different political reasons, but they were turned against Paul. Okay, so you had these trained soldiers and then they focused their attention on Paul. For whatever reason, they did. And so he had to escape this city by escaping in a basket, being let down at a wall. He says that in verse 33, I was let down on the wall. Now, that would be like you and I trying to escape skilled soldiers or people who were very advanced in military skills, maybe like the Navy SEALs or somebody who was advanced in that form of warfare. And that's what he was up against. And he had to somehow escape them, and of course the Lord provided a way for him to do that. Now I share all of this to bring us again to the thought, what's the last straw? I mean, whatever you're up against, we're all up against various things, but what's the last one you can handle? Or at least you think you can. And I would venture to say, after hearing what this man went through, you and I are right here, and Paul was way up there, that you and I really pale in comparison to what this man went through. But the task is that we have to bear our cross. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus said it this way about those who would desire to come after him. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, then you've got to take up your cross. You've got to be willing to endure some major setbacks in this world to keep your faith in me. It says in verse 34, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So we see all this list of horrible experiences that Paul went through in preaching the gospel. But as Jesus is pointing out, how does that cross compare to the reward that you gain in eternity for keeping your faith in the Lord? How does that compare? And I'm sure Paul would be willing to experience this and many times over if that's what was required of him in keeping his faith and in not being ashamed of Jesus and his words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Paul would be willing to go through all that many times over to get the reward that is found for those who are faithful unto death. And I share that with you as well. You can bear your cross. Jesus did not call you to bear a pillow. He called you to bear a cross. And a cross has persecution. A cross has disappointments. A cross has suffering involved in upholding his word in a world that will reject it. Very few are going to do this. Paul was one who passed the test. And so, how much can you endure? Can you endure temptation? Can you endure persecution? Can you endure slander and false accusation? Can you endure disappointment of not getting everything you want as a servant of Christ? And I believe we can do it. Paul says that the way he got through this is the way you and I get through this. You got to have an anchor. And that anchor is not in this world and its advantages. That anchor is in eternity with God. And so he says in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I hope we remember that as well as we serve our God. May God bless you. Thank you for your kind attention. It could be that you're here and you're not a child of God. We hope that you will obey that beautiful gospel that Paul was willing to have his back ripped open to preach. And that gospel is a gospel of hope and forgiveness and being born again in the sight of God. And so we hope that you will do that. If you understand that salvation is in Jesus and the only way into Jesus is in obeying that gospel, then we encourage you to do what he says of confessing that faith in him, turning away from every sin that you know of, Acts 17 and verse 30, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. And we have water here tonight to help you do that. If you're not a Christian, we plead with you to become a child of God. If you've done that but need to make things right with God in a public way, please do so as we stand and sing.